combat mantra. In today's episode of the podcast, I am going to discuss with you the mantra I am currently repeating to myself in training and in sparring in preparation for my next fight. This is the key that will lead me to victory. I'm going to explain to you my mantra and teach you how to create your own and how to apply it so that you are always locked in doing exactly what you need to be doing in the heat of combat. My name is Lewis, and you are listening to Budo, the Martial Way. First of all, we just need to make sure we're all on the same page. I want to make sure you know what a mantra is. A mantra is a phrase or sentence, or even just a word, that is repeated again and again. One, to aid in meditation as a point of concentration, but also to reinforce an idea or teaching within our mind. We are literally programming ourselves. A mantra, you may have heard, is Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. This is from Nichiren Buddhism, and it translates roughly to something like, I commit myself to the divine teachings of the Lotus Sutra. Now, I have used mantras a lot in my spiritual practice and my own self-development, but what I'm trying to do now is use a mantra within my martial arts training, primarily striking, whether that be kickboxing or MMA. The mantra that I have developed is in four parts, dictating four scenarios in which we usually find ourselves within a fight. Part 1, frame, head movement, stepping off. 2, long straights, kickboxing, twos and threes, mixed combinations. 3, liver and knees. 4, cover and roll. So let me explain each of these to you. Now, this mantra is obviously specific to my style, to my strengths, and the things that I know I need to focus on. You can obviously use this mantra yourself, but what I think is beneficial is if you use this to give you ideas for developing your own mantra, because I guarantee you, I absolutely promise you, this is something that will benefit you a lot within your own combat training. Especially striking, I'm certain of it. Part 1, frame, head movement, stepping off. Part 1 is focusing on the defensive actions I should be taking when I am in a neutral position with my opponent. Certainly from the moment the fight starts, and then mostly at any given moment from then on. Now, you may argue that offense is more important than defense because you're never going to win a fight by blocking. At the end of the day, you do need to be offensive, and that is what is going to win you the fight. So I understand if that is what you would think to start with. However, I start with this neutral defensive position because when you are being attacked, you need the first thing you think of to be the thing that is going to help you in that dangerous situation. Does that make sense? Within the chaos and confusion of fighting, you need this mantra to be so clear and direct that you can recall it even in that extremely stressful and disorienting situation. The first thing I call to mind is going to be the thing that is going to protect me and prevent my opponent from landing effective shots on me. So the first thing is frame. Now, if you understand about striking and creating a frame, I have my right hand glued to my head, elbow tucked in, chin tucked, and my left arm is outstretched. Shoulder up, chin down, arm out straight. This is the position that I like to rely on most in striking. Of course, it's not perfect and it does have holes. There is no defensive position that is perfect. But this is what I find works best for me. And this is the position I should be utilizing the most to keep my opponent from hitting me. The second part is head movement. Again, head movement. You may think this is obvious, But what I find is that when I am against a tough opponent, someone I perceive to be strong, whether I'm sparring with the pros in my gym or I'm in a competitive amateur fight, what I find is in those situations in which I perceive there to be great danger, that's when I start to move less and I become more static. And that's exactly the opposite of what I should be doing. I shouldn't be a stationary target. I need to keep moving. I need to keep moving my head. And when I do that, it does make it harder for my opponent to hit me. But that's just something I need to remind myself of. Head movement. Keep it moving. Keep it fluid. And you will make it more difficult for your opponent to land those straight strikes on you. Last one is stepping off. Now, again, I don't want to remain static. I want to remain fluid. I want to keep moving. I especially excel keeping my opponent on the outside and maintaining that distance. In my last fight, I allowed my opponent to close the distance. I allowed him to get too close. I really need to keep moving my feet, circling left, circling right, not standing directly in front of him. And that constant motion, again, will make it harder for him to hit me. So altogether, I've got frame, I've got the head movement, and I'm stepping off. That is going to make it very difficult for my opponent to hit me. I know this because when I'm in the gym sparring with those I train with, this does work. I'm very elusive, and I do not take a lot of damage. Now, part two, this is where we focus on the offense, again, from a neutral position. Long straights kickboxing, twos and threes mixed combinations. Long straights. From the outside, I want to be throwing my jab, my cross, and my long left uppercut. Those strikes have the longest range, and I can land them reliably without getting too close to my opponent. Especially that long left uppercut, I do have a really good range on that, and I have dropped people in the gym with it before. That's a high percentage strike that does often land. When I get a little bit closer into like the sort of medium range, that's when I start throwing the right uppercut, the left hook. And when I get really close, that's when I throw the right hook. But what I want to be doing, what I want to be focusing on is keeping that range and staying on the outside as much as possible. So that second part, long straights kickboxing. Kickboxing, that's what I should be doing. I am a Muay Thai fighter, first and foremost. I've got good kicks. Teeps, I can throw low, mid, high, effectively, powerfully, and accurately off both legs, left and right. This is what I should be doing first and foremost to harass and damage my opponent. Sometimes I start to focus a little bit too much on boxing. Maybe this is a pride thing. You know, everybody wants to get that big knockout, that one punch knockout, land that clean right straight. That's cool, but often when I start to focus a little bit too much on punching, that's when I get closer to my opponent and I give him more opportunities to hit me. A fight I really love is Conor McGregor against Max Holloway. Now, this is old school McGregor when he was thin, when he was lean, and when he had this beautiful, fluid Bruce Lee kickboxing style. And what you see in that fight is him constantly throwing kicks and primarily using that kickboxing to harass, damage, and control Max, and then throwing the punches secondary to the kicks. When you harass someone with kicks and when you land effectively, they begin to focus on your kicks and that opens up the opportunity for the punches to land. So by focusing on the kickboxing, I actually give myself more opportunity to land those punches effectively. So when I say kickboxing, again, low, medium, high, off both legs, left and right, the straight teeps, the push kicks, and as well, even the side kicks. I need to throw those side kicks more. They have good power, and I can snap them to the head very fast and surprisingly. Long straights kickboxing, twos and threes. I think I said this after my first fight last year. I need to be focusing on short and sharp combinations. You can't just throw singles all the time. Of course, a single jab or low kick, everybody's going to be throwing out some singles here and there. But when you throw singles, they are much easier to block and definitely easier to counter. It's the twos and threes that land. Jab, cross, left kick. Upper hook, right knee. Inside kick, cross hook. These short and sharp combinations, those are what land and those are what do the damage. Again, this is an issue of feeling pressure. Whether I'm in the gym sparring against the big scary pros or in a competitive fight and I'm worried about getting countered and knocked out, it's scary because the longer your combination, the more open you are and the more risk you are at getting countered. But that's why we don't throw 5-6 strike combinations. Sometimes you see people practicing that on the pads, and that looks flashy, and it looks scary, and it looks dangerous. But when you watch professional fighting, when you watch competitive fighting, or you have a competitive fight yourself, you're never throwing 5, 6, 7, 8 strike combinations. You're just not. It's all short and sharp. Like I said, twos and threes, maybe a four. So that also includes the final part. Twos and threes, mix combinations. What a lot of beginners do, and a lot of amateurs, is if they're punching, they're just punching. When they throw hands, it's like they're just boxing in their head. And when they're kicking, they're only kicking. You need to be mixing them up. Punch, punch, kick. Kick, punch, punch. Punch, punch, knee. This is what good martial artists do. They're mixing up highs, lows, hands, feet, inside, outside. You need to be mixing it up and you need to mix those combinations. That's what is going to keep you unpredictable. That's what's going to allow you to actually land effectively. So I hope that's clear. Long straights, kickboxing, twos and threes, mixed combinations. Now, part four is what I want to be doing when I get into the position where I am pressuring my opponent. Maybe I've landed a good shot here or there. My opponent is starting to close in on himself. His guard is becoming tighter and he's becoming more stationary. In that moment, especially if I'm kickboxing and my opponent has big 16-ounce gloves, he's going to cover his head. And even though he is stationary and becoming less offensive, when he covers up like that, it can become harder to penetrate that shell. So this part of the mantra is liver and knees, liver and knees. I want to be looking at that liver on the right side of his body, underneath the pectoral muscle. That liver is a weak spot. Personally, I have never once, either in sparring or in competition, ever been downed from a headshot. I've definitely been rocked, but I've never been downed. But I have gone down from body shots, shots to the solar plexus and to the liver. So when you are attacking your opponent and he covers up, if he raises his arms and he covers his head and stops moving, that's when you have the opportunity to just move in a little bit closer and smash him in the liver. That's the money shot. That's what is going to get me that win. And actually, in my second fight last year, I did down my opponent in the first round with a knee to the liver. Of course, in that moment, I'm going to open up with all hands, uppercuts, hooks, kicks everywhere. But what I want to remind myself is not to headhunt. I need to hit the liver. I've got a beautiful left shovel hook. A shovel hook is halfway between a hook and an uppercut. And I throw that straight to the liver very nicely. Again, I've downed people with that in sparring in the past. Liver and knees. I have savage knees. The pros in my gym are always complimenting me on the power of my knees. And unlike a lot of professional fighters, even the fighters you've probably watched yourself in the UFC, most of those fighters only throw knees in the clinch. But if you watch Muay Thai, you know the power and effectiveness of long knees from outside the clinch. So that's something I'm trying to use more that no one else in my gym ever does. long knees. Especially in that moment, if I can get my opponent to cover up, that's when I've got him. Smash him in the liver. Hit him with the long knees. Now, the last part of the mantra is about the opposite of that. When my opponent is opening up and I'm becoming more defensive. That's what happened in my last fight last year. My opponent wasn't a better striker than me, and he certainly couldn't submit me, but how he managed to beat me was in pure aggression. He just rushed me and was extremely aggressive. He was constantly inside the range at which I felt comfortable and forced me to cover up and fight his fight. So in that moment, when my opponent is being aggressive and my opponent is moving into that close range, that's when I need to remember to cover up and roll. Cover and roll. Now, I can either roll left or roll right. Now, you can do anything in either direction, but this is generally what I like to do and what I'm trying to practice and remember. If I roll left, I'm going to roll left and step off. Now, when I step off to the left, I can either step left and slightly back. So when I step left, moving slightly away from my opponent and pivoting, I'm going to create space and create distance between me and my opponent. And then from there, I should be back in that neutral position, frame, head movement, stepping off. Or I can roll left, step off, and actually step forward slightly. So when I step left and slightly forward and I pivot, I will be roughly the same distance from my opponent, but just for a moment, I'll be at an angle with my opponent standing directly in front of me while I stand to the side of my opponent. And if I move fast, that gives me the opportunity to counter. Obviously, this is a lot more dangerous as I remain in the pocket, but that's where you need to be if you want a big counter. It's high risk, high reward. But either way, cover up, roll, step to the left. Now, if I roll to the right, there's two things I can do. One is to throw a right hook. If I do this, if I throw a right hook, I need to bury my head in his chest. Not literally, but that is something I have been practicing, and it has allowed me to land that right hook much more frequently. Because when my opponent is opening up on me and I throw that right hook to counter, what I often find is that I'm a little bit too far out of range and my opponent is able to lean back ever so slightly and I miss that shot. But when I roll and I just lean forward slightly as if I'm pushing my head into my opponent's chest, and then when I come back up and I throw that right hook, just that tiny bit of forward motion closes that gap, and that's when I land the right hook. And I know my right hook has power. It doesn't have a lot of range, and of course that's something I do try to keep in mind. I try to reach with that right hook, but it is my shortest range punch. But I do know that it has a lot of power. My coach, Kojima-san, he really complimented me on that right hook. I've even managed to land it on him once or twice, and he told me that's my knockout punch. But I've just got to be so close to use it. So that's what I do. I roll, head and chest, and throw that right hook counter. Or I roll, move forward, almost like a shoulder barge, and I push into a clinch. This is an effective tactic because, as I said before, what I'm doing most of the time is I'm trying to stay on the outside. Now, if my opponent doesn't like that, basically he's going to start chasing me the whole time. Almost like a cat and mouse game, like a matador. I'm on the outside and my opponent is constantly trying to close the gap and move forward. Now, he's moving forward constantly. So when he gets into the pocket and he starts throwing those punches, the last thing he expects is for me to suddenly completely change direction. And I also move forward, which stuffs his punches and forces us into a clinch. And I'm pretty much always dominant in the clinch. Again, this is traditional Muay Thai. And this is what allowed me to win my second fight last year. Control the clinch, big knees. Now I can step off, roll into a clinch. I can do whatever, rolling left or right. But I know that's what I need to do in those moments of danger when my opponent is too close for me to use my frame. Cover and roll, cover and roll, cover and roll. What I absolutely cannot do is just cover and stand there. If you just stand there, you just become a heavy bag and your opponent is going to absolutely light you up. So this is what I have been repeating to myself. These are the fundamental techniques, tactics, and strategies that I'm trying to program into the deepest parts of my mind. So that when I am in combat, in that high adrenaline, high stress situation, I can call this to mind so that I don't become static and I don't start throwing single shots. When I'm in the gym, when I'm relaxed, when I'm fluid, that's when I'm absolutely dominant. I'm moving, I've got a long frame, I'm throwing those long kicks, creative combinations. My opponents struggle to hit me and I control the exchange. But when I go up against a tough opponent, maybe one of the pros, or when I think it's a high stakes in an actual competitive fight, that's when I lose that mobility. I become static. I don't throw those creative combinations. So I become my own worst enemy. I'm preventing myself from fighting at my best. So going into my next fight, and even, of course, just in the gym sparring, this is what I am practicing. This is what I'm trying to drill into myself so that it becomes second nature. Frame, head movement, stepping off. Frame, head movement, stepping off. At the start of every round sparring and at the start of any competitive fight, I'll frame, move my head, and step off. Regardless of what my opponent is doing, I need to do those actions and get comfortable doing it because that's where I'm at my best. Frame, head movement, stepping off. Once I'm moving, long straights, kickboxing, twos and threes, mixed combinations. This is my bread and butter. I'm also going to practice some specific combinations that I really know I can land, but that's another story for another time. Long straights, kickboxing, twos and threes, mixed combinations. I see a chance, my opponent's covering up, I have the opportunity to finish him. Liver and knees, liver and knees, liver and knees. Or the opposite, I'm in trouble, my opponent's attacking me, cover and roll, cover and roll, cover and roll. As long as I can stay relaxed, stay loose but sharp, and remember these fundamentals, I will win every fight I have this year. I had my last fight in December last year, and since then I have been very busy with work, so I haven't been able to train martial arts in my MMA gym so much. Of course, I'm still training, I'm still exercising, I'm doing a lot of weightlifting, stretching, but next month, April, I will be back in the gym, hitting the pads, sparring, and I'll see how I get on. Get myself back in the game, see how I do with sparring. But I want to fight again as soon as possible. My intention was to have another 3 fights this year, and we're already moving into April. So I'm thinking May or June would be a good time to have my next fight, either in kickboxing or MMA. Last year, I was focusing a lot on the psychology of remaining calm and keeping focus. I feel much more confident with that now, especially after my last fight, which was really tough. Now, I feel more confident and I'm certain I will be more relaxed. So now the big focus for me is to focus on these fundamental tactics and qualities and make sure I'm executing them as well as I can be. Thank you for listening. I hope you found this informative and inspirational. If you practice martial arts yourself, I hope the idea of a mantra and developing your own mantra is something that you will practice and apply yourself. As I said before, think about the fundamental things you need to be doing and create a mantra from that so you can call it to mind even in the deepest fires of combat itself. And the key, by the way, if this wasn't already clear, is that you need to be repeating this mantra to yourself as much as possible. Not just in training, but throughout the day, when you're in the shower, when you're walking to work, when you're sitting on the train, any time, just repeat this mantra to yourself over and over again. The more you repeat it, the more it will sink into your subconscious. And if you can, repeat it out loud as well. Speaking the words is much more powerful and engages much more of your brain than simply thinking the words silently to yourself. Combat mantra. Build yours, learn it, repeat it, apply it, and I guarantee you will become a more dangerous fighter. This is the way. Thank you, as always, for joining me. I hope you found that interesting, and even if you do not practice martial arts yourself, I hope you found this application of mantras interesting. It should give you some ideas about how you can apply mantras in your own life. I'm glad to share my own journey and my own practice with you. As I said, this year I'll be fighting more, I'll be competing more, again, as soon as possible, really. And when I do, of course, just as before, I will share the story of all my fights as I have previously, and I look forward to doing so. If you are ready to learn more about the power of having a daily mantra, you can purchase my book, The Martial Method, which has an entire chapter dedicated to just this. It is available in paperback on Amazon, digital copy and audiobook on Gumroad. Enter the code Become the Way, all lowercase, all one word, to get 20% off your Gumroad purchase. Links to everything can be found on budo.card.co. That's budo.card.co. Or on Twitter at WeiBudo. If you develop your own mantra, tweet about it, share this podcast, and tag me on Twitter at WeiBudo. God bless. May your training be fruitful. May your days be peaceful. And I'll see you next time. For those on the way, become the way.